the Bible. It's the Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. This sacred book is living and active and contains all that's needed for life and godliness. Stay with American Family Radio for the next hour as we study God's Word and take your Bible questions. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 and following, especially through verse 11 and 12, are some of the greatest passages you'll ever hear concerning Jesus Christ, what he was in the Old Testament as he was illustrated and who he is and what he's done. This is Bert Harper along with Dr. Alex McFarland, and it's our joy to be with you on Exploring the Word. And it's my joy to be back after 3 days. I was up in Faulkner, Mississippi at Faulkner Baptist Church with Dr. Jeffrey Moore, pastor. Had a great meeting there, great revival, and just rejoiced. But it's good to be back with you, Alex. And I know you guys were in Carthage, Mississippi. What was going on there, man?
Oh, man, we had a great time. The Lord blessed. And Bert, welcome back. We know you were out doing the Lord's work, and we prayed for you, but it is good that you're back. And I was, as everybody knows, Saturday night through last night, I was in Carthage, Mississippi, Sunday morning at First Baptist, and then we had the Leak County Evangelistic Crusade. And every night was a blessing. Every night people responded to the gospel. But last night was just overwhelming. And I'm going to be sending Brent Austin some pictures to put on Facebook. And just the place was packed last night. I mean, it was like overfull. That auditorium, praise God, it was probably dangerously full of people.
But fire marshal didn't show up, did he?
the fire marshal didn't show up. Okay. And it would just, you know, we had Blue Mountain Christian University do the music one night. We had Mississippi College do the music last night, the Worship Collective, and just so many people responded to the gospel, many, many teenagers and young people. And Bert, a lot of people came up. I think about, and she's probably listening, Amy, who is a lady, she and her husband, I think, are from the Philippines, but she drove over an hour and a half, just tearful almost with joy. She said that you and I had been an encouragement, she and her husband. And I want to give a big shout out to Jeannie. There was a lady I met one night, and Jeannie had, God delivered her from drug use. God delivered her from incarceration. She is saved through a dear sister in the Lord named Sheila, who led her to Christ some years ago. And now she's even studying external classes through Dallas Theological Seminary.
Amen.
But she came up and explained what Exploring the Word had meant. Literally hundreds of people just had great things to say about what God is doing in their lives. And Bert, I want to tell you, I've had an answered prayer today, and that prayer being that the airlines would get me back to Greensboro, North Carolina on time. You and I talked a couple hours ago, and I had just gotten off the plane and back at Southside where we've got all the radio gear set up. But I'll say this, I'll throw it back to you, Bert, as we get into 1 Peter. I really believe the Spirit of the Lord is moving. I believe God is visiting our nation and really our world with a revival. I see the wheels are turning. The winds are blowing. Bert, I was just on the phone with a publicity firm out of a Christian PR firm out of Nashville, and they're saying that more and more of the newsrooms are seeking out pastors to speak into the media, that like if there's a tragedy, you know, that it's not just a political commentator that's needed. They want a pastoral voice who can give the Word of God. And of course, it's been our joy to do that, and we'll continue to do that as the Lord allows. Here's my point. Wherever you are, doesn't matter where you are in the Western Hemisphere, God desires to touch the lives of the people in your community. And God wants to touch all of our lives and use all of our lives. And Bert, I am so encouraged because I think revival is coming, something that you and I and Amen. So many of us have prayed for years and years.
Amen. Let me give you this. I believe it as well, Alex. You sense it. You hear it. We want to spread it at AFR. We want to be a part of sharing what God's done. If you read about these great movements of God. They start, but then they spread. How they spread? From individuals that go forth out of that. The Asbury, it was them leaving there, going to the other communities. And it's not that they carry the revival with them. They're people there, and they share what God has done, and then they rejoice and join in. So AFR, especially Exploring the Word, we want to be a part of that, of spreading this, of sharing what God's doing. Now, let me share with you. Don't be one that quenches the spirit. Yeah, it says try the spirits, but it doesn't say you have to line up with everything I believe. Listen, I think we'll get to it today in 1 Peter, and this is a good introduction to what we're talking about in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. So I'm going to jump right into it and read the passage all the way through verse 8, and then at verse 9, it's an addition. But let me read 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8, Alex.
Okay. Yeah.
Coming to him, Jesus, as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, so to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is also contained in the Scripture. This is Isaiah 28:16. Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious. But to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, a stone stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble, being disobedient to the word to which they also were appointed. We're talking about Jesus Christ fulfilling the prophecies in the Old Testament and him becoming the builders. The stone that the builders rejected has now become what? The cornerstone. Listen, you want to build your life upon this cornerstone. He was the living stone, which is, that's beyond comprehension. But he says, now you also are living stones. Alex, the beautiful part of this is what Jesus said in Matthew 16 when he said, upon this rock I will what? Build my church. He's using that analogy of a building to say, hey, I'm the cornerstone, I'm the foundation, the cornerstone, and I'm going to start building my church. Alex, it's awesome in 2025 that God's still building his church, and we're still part of this building as living stones. It's true in 2025 when you're saved, isn't it?
Well, it really is. It really is. And hey, just to talk about words here a little bit, you know, when it says that we are living stones, we're built up a spiritual house, a priesthood. And then in verse 6, it says, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, which of course is a quote from Isaiah. Bert, you know, when we talk about Peter and we think about stones, we think about the word Petra or Petros. You remember where Jesus said, you are Peter and on this rock. And so Peter's confession, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. But Jesus is the chief cornerstone. And we think about that. All right. Verse 6, the chief cornerstone. I figured when I looked this up in the Greek, it would be some form of Petra or Petros. I mean, isn't that generally the Greek word?
Usually it is, yes.
But it's very interesting. All right, the word here means a couple of things. A millstone, like you grind with, a foundation stone that a building can be built on, but the word for stone is lithos, L-I-T-H. Now, if you think about lithography, generally that speaks to writing, right? Like a lithograph is something printed. And that's what it means. So Jesus, who is this stone, he's the cornerstone. He's the foundation stone. He's the grinding, the millstone that really grinds and separates the wheat from the chaff. But he's the lithograph stone. Now, what in the world does that mean? Well, it's a stone with words on it. And Bert, I was doing a word study on this. In the ancient world, when printing was in its infancy, now we know that Gutenberg developed movable type, but as printing was in its infancy, they would get a big flat stone and they would basically use it as like a block printing. Some of you know what block printing is. That used to be how they would do it in the newspaper. Here's the thing. Jesus is a stone with words on it, and he can imprint those words onto you, a lithograph. What are some of those words? Saved, my child, redeemed, bought with a price. As we get into 2 Peter 2:6, I was just studying on who it is that we've believed on, how solid. Hey, we often talk about the rock of Gibraltar. Jesus is that times 100. He is the chief cornerstone.
Amen. Well said. That is awesome. Going back, if you could, look at verse 5. It says, you also are living stones. The word also is there, connecting to verse 4, when Jesus is the living stone. But we become joint heirs with him. We are those living stones. Being built, it's continual. It's not, okay, I'm over. No, it is being built in each stone. And let me share with you about these stones. We find out in Exodus 19, verse 5 and 6, when they were building the whole thing, it says, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure. We are that special treasure. But we find out also that in 1 Kings chapter 6, verse 7, Alex, this is powerful. Mm-hmm. In 1 Kings chapter 6, verse 7, guess where the stones for the temple was cut and where they were formed? In the quarry. They didn't bring them to the temple to cut. They did it in the quarry. Now, what does that mean for us when we are the living stones? God is cutting us in this quarry of the world. He's forming us and making us. That's the reason it says God takes all things and works them for good to be what? Conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. Now carry that on out. All the difficult things. I mean, when you're cutting something or when you're grinding something to shape it, guess what? It's painful. It's not easy. And so God is using this world that we live in that has difficulties in it, that is part of life, to shape us into the form. Because guess what? They had to be formed in the quarry to fit in the place they were going to be in the temple.
When
they
got
all, so God's forming us today, right now. He's using us and to build this house, the church. I'm glad I'm a part of it, Alex.
I'm looking at 1 Kings 6, verse 7 right now, and it says, the house, Solomon's temple, when it was in building, was built of stone made ready before it was brought there. So there was neither hammer nor axe nor any tool of iron heard in the house. Hey, evangelism and discipleship, it takes place down here, doesn't it?
It really does. Make sure you're part of this living house by being a part of a living stone. Jesus overcame sin and death, the resurrection. Let him reign in your life. We'll be back with more of 1 Peter right after this break. Will you take a moment and celebrate life with me? Last year, Preborn helped to rescue over 67,000 babies from abortion. Hi, this is Bert Harper, and I want to thank you for your partnership. Think about what you did. 67,000 babies are taking their first breath now because of you. Your $28 sponsored one ultrasound that was given to a woman as she was deciding about the future of her child. Once she saw her precious baby for the first time and heard that sweet heartbeat, her baby's chance at life doubled. But Preborn's mission is not only to rescue babies' lives, but also to lead women to Christ. Last year, Preborn Network Clinics saw 8,900 women receive salvation. Your help is crucial to continue their life-saving work.
Now I won't sing.
standing on that rock, and that rock is the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, welcome back to Exploring the Word. Alex McFarland, Bert Harper, and we are in the New Testament book of 2 Peter. And before the break, we were talking about the fact that, really coming to Christ and then growing in Christ, it takes place in this life. After this world, there's no second chance. So just as the stones of the temple were prepared in the quarry and then brought to the house, well, we must meet Jesus down here. And then, you know what? I've often said this, Bert, but everything we do post salvation should be a decades-long thank you note back to Jesus. Amen. And every day we have an opportunity to add to that thank you note a little bit, don't we?
We really do. And I pray you are. Listen, he's done more than you could even ask or think. I was remembering it this week when I was preaching what I knew when I was 12 years old, when I was saved. I knew if I didn't accept Jesus Christ, I was bound for a devil's hell. I knew that I needed him. There was no other way to have my sins forgiven. But I got so much more than I ever dreamed about. A friend, someone that sticks with you through thick and thin. He is the greatest thing that could ever happen to anyone. Hey, Alex, go ahead. I got one question I want to ask you. You go first, though.
I've got a pastor friend, and he's a fantastic man of God, and his older brother is not saved. His name is Kenny. K-E-N-N-Y. And Kenny got burned on the stove this week. Seriously, there was like a fire in the kitchen, and he had some rather severe burns. So I'm just going to ask everybody, please, this is east of Raleigh, down in the eastern part of North Carolina. First of all, pray for Kenny, who's gotten injured through a kitchen fire. But this pastor friend called me very concerned. He said, my brother, he doesn't want to hear anything about Jesus, and he needs to get saved. And Bert, when you said that you did not want to go to a devil's hell, nobody should want to. Folks, please pray this man named Kenny. That's his name. Pray that he would get saved.
Well, let's pray for him now, Alex. Is that all right if I pray?
Please.
Father, I thank you that you have family, that family loves one another, cares for one another. And this pastor who has a brother named Kenny, mm-hmm. I pray for Kenny right now where he is. He's been injured. I'm sure the injuries are so horrible. Fire injury, burning is so hard and difficult. I pray that would get his attention.
Yes.
To know an eternity without Christ. And it says, I'm tormented in the flame. Father, I pray that would get his attention of all the things he's heard, and that he would turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, his Savior and Lord. Right where he is right now, I pray that the Holy Spirit of God would bring a heaviness upon his heart that he needs to look. And I pray you'd bring other people into his life. Sometimes, as Alex and I said, family members, sometimes people just don't want to listen. But I pray you'd bring other people into Kenny's life that would demonstrate and share the truth of Jesus Christ and the love that he has for Kenny. We're praying this, believing this, and asking this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Bert, thank you. Thank you, brother.
Brother, with that in mind, go back to verse 5 and look at this. And I do really want us to examine this. It says, he built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood. Notice what it says, to offer up spiritual sacrifices, which is acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Spiritual sacrifice. You got to go back and look at the sacrifices of the Old Testament. Now, Jesus wiped all that out. We don't have to offer up blood with bulls and lambs and goats, but it's spiritual sacrifices. It makes me think of Romans, that we're to live our lives that way. Alex, is there a definition for spiritual sacrifices? Taking time to use your money wisely as unto the Lord? Is that using your gifts in place of using them for yourself, using them to the Lord? It may be cooking. It could be mechanic. It could be. Is this what do you think it's referring to?
Bert, I'm so glad you brought this up. You're right. Jesus died and rose again. He is the final sacrifice. Therefore, we don't have to offer the blood of bulls and goats. But spiritual sacrifices, and it kind of reminds me of what Paul says about in Romans that it is our spiritual service. For one thing, a spiritual sacrifice, I think it's God-honoring. It's in accord with God's word. It's what the Bible says. And then, you know, we are like 2 Corinthians 9:7, to give generously, joyfully, as we have purposed in our heart. I think we need to think about things and pray about it. And, you know, Lord, if you should bless me, if I can work and have income, show me how to tithe and more from this income that you've entrusted to me. And there's not just financial giving, although we are to tithe, you know, Malachi 3 says, from all of our increase. But there's gifts and abilities. Some of you are very gifted, like in administration. And an additional way, you can serve your local church in some leadership role or even a ministry. Bert, I've known a lot of dear godly women that helped people with learning to read and tutoring and after school. And there, one of the things that we used to love to do, I really need to start this back, but I taught the boys how to change oil and antifreeze, and we would help some of the older people winterize their car, you know? I've, as youth pastor and not long ago, I've taught kids how to change a spare tire. See, not everybody knows. I mean, that's a skill, you know. But, Bert, isn't there a myriad of ways financially, personally, physically, that we can invest ourselves in others and be serving the Lord and spiritual sacrifices like it says?
Amen, Alice. As unto the Lord, this is what you do. Even your work ethic, let me just share with you. Yes, but you go beyond that, not just what is required, but above and beyond to demonstrate to those that you work with, those you work for, that yes, as a God-fearer, as a God-follower, I am going to hold up and even above and beyond. And yeah, okay, that's a little extra sacrifice. But offer it up as unto the Lord, Alex. It's not just your spiritual gifts. It's your talents. It's your experiences. Using all of those for His glory and His honor. I wanted to encourage people out there because I know people, well, I can't sing and I can't teach. Listen, can you bake? Can you change a tire? Can you help people? Yes, you can. Help take someone to the a senior adult that doesn't drive anymore.
Help
them get to the doctor. These are sacrifices. And I want to tell you, God does notice these and He rewards those. And so get involved in that. Alex, we come to verse 7 and it says, therefore. Now, again, Alex and I both try to do this. We try not only to share with the Word of God, but we want you to be equipped so that you can do it as well. You were talking about that woman that you met this week that was incarcerated and she got saved and got out, and now she is studying at Extension at Dallas Theological Seminary. Guess what? They're teaching her how to. Here on Exploring the Word, that's one of the things we want to do is help you to dig into God's Word on your own. When you see the word therefore, and I know it's a cliche, but it is awesome. When you see the word therefore, you ask the question, what is it there for? It's a connector, isn't it, Alex, from what you've just heard and what you're just about to hear?
Yeah, 2 Peter 2:7, unto you, therefore, which believe, He is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, and now this is going to be a quote from Psalm 118, the stone which the builders rejected or disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. Okay, you can stand on the promises of Jesus, or you can stumble over the promises of Jesus. And here's the thing. The Bible talks about if we stand on the rock, we will stand. But if that rock falls on us, we'll be crushed or destroyed. I love the way it begins. Unto you, therefore, which believe, He is precious.
Amen.
And folks, you know what we're talking about. If you're a believer, not only is Jesus the most real thing in your life, he's the most precious thing in your life, isn't he?
He really is. Now, this precious, do those believe he is precious? Now, what are we talking about here? We're talking about stones, right? So we're talking about what? Precious stone. Now, when you think about precious stones in our world, diamonds, pearls, emeralds, precious stones, that which is costly, that which is amplified in beauty and adorned. Think about that. He is to be adored. He is to be just looked upon and know who he is. So when you say that, therefore to you who believe he is precious, what? A precious stone. Alex, worthy. And, you know, financially, just above and beyond what you would pay for something else. But when Jesus Christ is that, he's that pearl of great price. He is the one. So when you see that precious, and I saw that talking about stones, I said, okay, I believe that throws it in there to even greater. It may have looked like a stone from the quarry, but God is able to make that stone precious. Now, we know he is, but guess what he can do in our lives, Alex? He can do that same thing in our lives as we serve him, that we become, like you said, a living stone as unto Jesus.
Verse 8, which quotes from Isaiah 8, actually, "And a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed." I'm going to come back to that in just a moment. There are people in this world that they just can't seem to tolerate the name of Jesus. Mm-hmm. I mean, that they might talk about God, or they might talk about, you know, thoughts and prayers. Folks, don't ever be ashamed to say, let's pray to Jesus. We trust in Jesus. We look to Jesus. Bert, spirituality in some vague, undefined way. I mean, people don't have too much of a problem with something that is quote-unquote spiritual. But if you get real specific, as we should, and say people need Jesus, that really shows where people are at. I mean, if they balk and bristle at the name of Jesus, well, that just really shows they need Jesus.
Amen. At the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess it is Jesus Christ. And he's the one. Who was it that asked? We would see the Father. Was that Philip? And he said, "Have you been so long with me that you don't understand that when you have seen me, you've seen the Father?" And it's through Jesus Christ that we have this redemption, the forgiveness of sin. There is no other way. So, Alex, you are exactly right. It's stumbling to those. Mm-hmm. And that's going to separate. It separates those. Oh, yes, but it is true. He is the one. Can we? Yeah, I think we can get to 9 and 10 in this. Let me read that again, and I'll just read it and throw it to you to make the comments, and I will as well. But you, all right, this is the one after those that said stumble and to the disobedience. He says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." I just say one thing. Hallelujah, Alex.
Amen. Let me just say, folks, if you've ever thought, you know, my life just doesn't matter, I don't matter to anybody or something. If you've ever been kind of in a low place and you just wonder what's the significance of it all, listen, dear Christian friend, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. The way the King James renders it, it says a peculiar people, or really God's own specially selected people.
I like the word peculiar. It really is. We're different, Alex.
We are different. We are, and it's not peculiar in some weird sense.
No.
But we are absolutely marching to a different step than the world.
Hallelujah.
I mean, really. And I want to say to everybody, young person, I know we have some children listening. We have teenagers. We have people in all strata of life. You're a believer? Praise God. You're a chosen generation to reach this generation. You're a royal priesthood to represent to this lost world the priest, the high priest, Jesus.
Now, let me say, because he's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now, when Saul tried to be the priest, you don't. Another one tried, you can't. But in Jesus Christ, who is King and priest, we become part of that, a royal priesthood. Go ahead, brother.
Well, and, you know, not to go backwards, but we, the little living stones, are showing people the chief cornerstone,
Amen.
The foundation stone. We are a peculiar people. Yep, that's true. We're different. The whole wide world has lost their morals, but we look to God's word. And so we are, to the best of our ability, by the Holy Spirit's power, we are showing forth the praises of the one who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. And whoever wants to put their faith in Jesus can come into this saving salvation light of the gospel as well. And every day, folks, every single day, we are on mission for the one who saved us.
And let me just recommend it. The light that you come into, it is marvelous. It's a glorious light that you can follow Christ. We hope you are. We're going to take phone calls, and that phone number is 888-589-8840. If you have a Bible question, we'd love to hear you today. Thank you for listening to Exploring the Word.
Hey, if you've never heard of AFA Stream, let me tell you about it. It's video streaming that goes beyond just entertainment. Yeah, there are shorts and feature films for all ages, but they're all backed by scriptural themes. You'll also find resources to help you grow closer to God, along with documentaries like Culture Warrior, the story of Don Wildman and the founding of AFA. There's a lot of free content, but if you become a Great Commission partner, you'll unlock much more. Check it out today at stream.afa.net.
For we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. 2 Corinthians 5:1.
American Family Radio.
From the morning to the evening, I could sing your praise all day. From the prison to the garden, you're the God who's breaking chains. When I look back on my whole life, there's a silver lining of grace. I can't wait to thank you, Jesus. I'll never get used to this. I'll never get used to this. This is how I want to live.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word. We don't ever get used to it. The joy doesn't wear away. We have Christ and we are His. Praise God.
Amen.
Well, we're going to take Bible questions. This is part of the program. If you're new to Exploring the Word, what we do, we read and talk about God's Word. But in segment three, we take questions, and this is that time. If you want to call in, we'd love to hear from you. If you are a first-time caller, that'd be great. But it's 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. And, of course, Fridays, as in tomorrow, we do all questions for all of the hour. But, Bert, would it be okay if we pick up the phone?
Yeah, let me tell you this. A lot of lines are open, so make you call. But real quickly, I forgot to do this at the beginning, and you did in a way. But I want to thank Jeff Shambly for Monday and Stephen Evans for Tuesday and Wednesday. Sitting in this chair and being a part of the co-host, Alex. I know it was a great job, but I wanted to give them a shout-out from me, myself. So I wanted to do that.
Thank you, Bert. They're very faithful. And we did have good shows, but you were missed, and we're glad you're back. But we're going to go to Tennessee. Carol in Tennessee. Do I have it right there, Carol?
Yes, you do.
Welcome.
Thank you. I have two questions. Did the Jewish people originate with Abraham, or did it happen after Jacob's name was changed to Israel? That's my first question. My second question is, and then I'll hush, with this replacement theory, Can you tell me a little bit about that and what denominations buy into that?
Okay, Carol, thank you. Good questions. Let me just say it started with Abraham. God called Abraham out, and he's the one that gave him the promise. It continued on. And then you had Isaac, and I call him the great connector. You know, Abraham gets a lot of press. Jacob gets a lot of press. Isaac's kind of the quiet man. You remember that John Wayne movie, The Quiet Man?
I love that
movie. I do as well. Not playing a cowboy, an army guy, but he was still good in that. And I call Isaac kind of the quiet man. But the Jews were called out from Abraham, and then under Jacob with his 12 sons, that's when started expanding, and it did change Jacob's name to Israel. You're right about that. Go ahead, Alex.
Exactly. Okay, a replacement theology runs on a parallel track, really, with something called preterism. And let me just say, in the aftermath of the Protestant Reformation, there was what was called the Counter-Reformation, and there was a Jesuit named Luis de Alcazar in the 17th century, and I don't know if I'm pronouncing that correctly, but that's my best attempt. And basically, Luis de Alcazar did not like to make a distinction between Israel and the church. Now, I want to be very clear. All people must be born again, and to be a part of the church, the bride of Christ, you have to be born again, put your faith in Jesus. But if you read like Romans 3:3 and Romans 11, God's covenant promises to Abraham are still in force. And so, believe it or not, there are a fair amount of preachers nowadays that they believe the church has become Israel. Now, let me say this. In the 17th century, when really replacement theology and preterism, see, preterism says Revelation 4 through 22 is not prophecy, it's history. And Bert and I'm holding in my hand a book that doesn't come out till Tuesday, October 7, but it's 100 Bible questions and answers. We deal with this. And let me just say that had Alcazar lived to May 14, 1948, I don't think preterism would ever exist. Because here's the thing, folks. This idea that the church is Israel and Israel is not Israel anymore and the modern state of Israel doesn't mean anything, these ideas came about hundreds of years ago when people were trying to kind of craft together a response, where's Israel? Because in March of 70 A.D., Rome ransacked Jerusalem, and there was what was called the diaspora, and the Jews were scattered. But once Israel was rebirthed as a nation, that kind of made replacement theology and preterism null and void, Bert.
Yeah, it did. Let me just share one thing. No replacement, but the church has been given the same, I would say, job that Israel was supposed to have. Now, theirs was geographical, and they were to be there and be a witness as people came through. I've said this several times. Look where he gave them the land, basically close to where three continents connect, Asia, Europe, and Africa. So they'd go through, and they were to what? Represent God so they could say, this is the God. The church, okay, in places staying geographical, we're to go into all the world. We don't replace the nation, but we do have the task, Alex, of sharing God's love to the world. Israel failed. Let the church not fail. Let's go forth and share God's love and how to be saved in Jesus Christ.
Amen. Michael in Georgia, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Yes, sir. How are we doing this evening?
We're glad to hear from you.
Good. Hey, I got a question for you. In John 17:6, I ain't got the scripture pulled up. Does the Father and Son have the same name?
Okay, John 17:6.
John 17:6.
Let me read it, Alex, and you come in. Yes. I have manifested your name to the men whom you have given me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have kept your word.
Really, I think it's the first of all, there's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So the Father and the Son are of they are the same essence, but unique in function and purpose and mission. And so I think when Jesus said, "I've declared the name to the world," it's really the truth of the gospel, the revelation of salvation, the gospel of the kingdom that, you know, he says, "Father, I've finished the work that you've given me to do." And that includes the total revelation of God and his saving plan.
I agree, Alex. Let me share. You remember it says we pray in Jesus' name, in his authority. Okay? If you put that name, I have the same authority as the Father. The Father, we don't supersede one another. I may have come to do his will and not my own, but I voluntarily put myself under his authority, but to have same authority, Alex, you know, and in the same way. Good word. Thank you, Michael.
Deborah in North Carolina, welcome to the program.
Thank you. I was just wondering, Alex, is the New Testament for the Old Testament law, are the New Testament believers still under the Old Testament law?
Okay. The moral law, we look at that and, you know, the Ten Commandments, stealing, adultery, those are repeated in the New Testament. The sacrificial law, Alex, Jesus said, he came to fulfill. That's been fulfilled. We're not under those sacrificial laws, are we?
No. Jesus fulfilled all the rituals. And the rituals, by the way, the sacrificial, the temple sacrifices and the blood sprinkled on the altar, those were part of the Mosaic law to point to the Messiah that would come, right? And in faith, they did look. And they trusted one day the Savior will come. Well, Jesus being in the flesh, right here present, he came and he fulfilled the law and then he died on the cross. And he was the full, final, perfect Lamb of God. So that part of the Mosaic law, the ceremonial part, not only do we not have to fulfill anymore, but we couldn't. I mean, Bert, hey, the king has come.
Amen.
Calvary happened. Now, the moral law that God gave on Mount Sinai, which God gave not as the plan of salvation, but for civil, ordered, stable, sustainable society, we're absolutely still on that because it's written on our heart.
Yeah.
You know, I would say the Levitical sacrificial system is not really written on our heart.
That's a good point, Alex. That's great.
Yeah, but I mean, to tell the truth, not lie, not to take somebody else's stuff, not to bear false witness, not to steal, or certainly not to commit murder. The moral law is on the, you might call it the conscience or ethical knowledge, but the Romans 2:15 and then Chronicles 17, that the law, the Ten Commandments, are written on every heart.
Let me share this real quickly. Notice when God gave that law was right before they were to go into the land that they were to occupy and be governed by God. Those were given, as you said, a governing society, how to use them. That's the reason where the Supreme Court, the Ten Commandments are posted there. They should be, because that is the moral law. And it would be wise to continue following it today. Thank you for that good question, Deborah.
Nancy in Mississippi, welcome. You're on Exploring the World.
Hi there.
Yes.
Yeah, hi there. Yes, sir. I was calling to ask for my Sunday school class. Once saved, always saved.
Mm-hmm.
Is that correct?
Okay. Let me make a statement, Nancy. And I love that statement, but I think there's one statement that uses that statement but makes it clearer. If saved, always saved. Sometimes we may go through baptism and listen, some things that just because you walk down the aisle, and James makes it plain that, you know, faith without works is dead, being alone. So I'm afraid some might have a dead faith. He even said the demons believe and they tremble. I would say, Alex, demons even have an emotional faith, but it's not real faith, is it?
That's true. I love the way you phrase that, if saved, always saved. But, Nancy, yes, I believe that if a person is truly born again, they are secure in Christ. And there are a lot of, one is John 10:28, that nothing can pluck us out of his hand. Does that help there, Nancy?
Yes, it does. Okay.
Amen.
Go ahead. Yeah, Nancy, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Can you give me three good verses to share with somebody in hopes that they'll accept Christ?
Well, let me give you one that I really love to share with people is John 6, verse 40. It says, whoever sees the Son, S-O-N, that's Jesus, whoever sees the Son and believes in him will have everlasting life, and I will raise you up at the last day. And then on the importance to believe in Jesus, I'm just going to give you John 8:24 regarding Jesus, the Son of God. Here's what Christ said. If you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. John 8:24. Bert, that's a pretty stark warning, isn't it?
It really is. And let me just go to the simple one, John 3:16. When you look at that, you find out the only way is through Jesus Christ and Christ alone. There is no plan B. There's no alternate route. And it is in Christ and Christ alone. So, Nancy, we hope that helped you. Have a great day. We've got time for one more, Alex.
How about we go to Georgia? Charles in Georgia, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you, gentlemen. I appreciate it and enjoy your program.
Yeah.
I want to get a clarification. An apostle, I've read what an apostle is and the qualifications, so to speak, but are there any people that are considering themselves apostles in this current day, or is that something that was only when Jesus was alive and these men met Jesus?
Thank you, Charles. Good question. A good question, because when you hear this and see this, Jesus called 12 men to be apostles out of disciples. A disciple is a learner or follower of Christ. That's what a disciple is. The word apostle means sent one. I don't think, Alex, speak it and then you take it away. I don't think we have people that are biblical apostles today. There are people that call themselves apostolic fathers and things. But if we have anyone that would take the place of an apostle sent out, it would be those that were missionaries sent out by the church to go into all the world. Alex, take it away.
Yeah, Charles, there are definitely people who call themselves apostles today. But really, and I'm going to read Acts 1, 21 and 22. All right, Judas died. They're going to pick Matthias. And it says, these men that were with Jesus till he ascended, and an apostle must be one ordained to be a witness with us of the resurrection, Acts 1:22. So there it is. A true apostle is one who saw the resurrected Jesus in person.
Amen. Man, we got some good calls today, and tell someone about Exploring the Word. Tell them about the podcast. You can go to AFR.net. Look under podcast, and you can see all the lessons that we've taught over the years. And listen, I think you'd be enjoyable by doing that. Alex, tomorrow's Fireway Friday. You ready?
I think we're ready, folks. And if you would, please tell people about Exploring the Word, AFR. Most of all, tell people about Jesus.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.